You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome into the Gym Class on KGYM here at 4 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Thursday. Scott Udash with you. Buttons to my right, about 8 feet away, in case you were curious about that. Double duty again today. Mark Duke's off once again, and Buttons filling in. And, of course, he will also be our producer, traffic guy, and if we need him, the meteorologist as well on the program here today. A lot to get to on the show here today. Scott Udash and Buttons with you here in our studio. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. We got a really good show for you coming up today. Scott Docterman, who covers the Iowa Hawkeyes for The Athletic, will be joining us in about 18 minutes or so. Gary Barta with a Zoom meeting with members of the media today, talking about the fall and Kinnick Stadium and Iowa Hawkeye football. Not how the team is going to be, perhaps, but how different scenarios as far as what could happen in Kinnick Stadium. So we will have that from Gary Barta. We'll talk about that with Scott Docterman. And Scott also had a chance to talk to Brian Ferentz, along with Mark Morehouse on the On Iowa podcast. So we will talk about that. We'll talk about the Hawkeyes coming back to Iowa City and getting back to somewhat of business, and that will be on June the 1st, coming up next week. So plenty to talk about with Scott Docterman, and we'll do that here in just a little bit. 319-366-1600. Again, that is our text line. Phone line, same numbers. Again, 319-366-1600. How are you over there?
I'm doing good 8 feet away.
It might even be nine.
And maybe nine.
Might even be nine. And we have a bottle of Clorox and a bottle of Lysol and many, many things between us.
We really do. We are set for the show today.
So we are set and ready to go. And we'll talk about that coming up here in just a moment. News today, not only Gary Barta and his comments, which included tailgating, by the way, we'll get to that, and student tickets. We'll get to that coming up in a moment or so. News today, though, it's really crippling news, if you will, for Eastern Iowa and Western Illinois, as this came down very quickly today. First reported by our friend of the show, Bob Herrig, senior golf writer at ESPN.com. Everybody was, I think, looking forward to having this event, and now it is not going to go off in 2020. In case you missed it earlier on today, about an hour and a half or so ago, the PGA Tour officially canceled the John Deere Classic for this year, for 2020. It will not be played. That due to the fact that the state of Illinois has not opened up the state for groups of more than 50, I believe. I read that correctly, Buttons. Maybe you can attest to that, but I believe it was 50 as far as the state of Illinois is concerned. And if you recall, we've been talking about this basically since the announcement of the resumption of the PGA Tour, was that the first event with a gallery was going to be at the TPC Deer Run for the John Deere Classic, and now that is not going to be the case, and that event will just not be played this year. It is sounds like it is going to be replaced by a tournament that is going to be at TPC Sawgrass, which, of course, is the national headquarters for the PGA Tour. They got one round of the Players' Championship in before that was called off 11 weeks ago today, by the way.
It's been 11 weeks? It's
been 11 weeks. Today marks 11 weeks since Rudy Gobert and the announcements of the conference basketball tournaments being canceled, NCAA March Madness to be played without fans, and then things got worse after that as far as sporting events are concerned. But sounds like the PGA Tour is planning on an event. They will not call it, from all indications, the Players' Championship, but They are going to have some sort of an event at TPC Sawgrass on that particular weekend. So that is a major bummer for not only golf fans, but that is just a major blow to the Quad Cities economy, to be quite honest with you, as well.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And it looks like last year they raised over $13.8 million for, what was it, over 500 organizations?
Yeah, charities involved. They're one of the more charitable groups as far as the PGA Tour is concerned. They've won some awards for that. But not only that, but the economic impact of restaurants, hotels, just associated businesses with people coming in, even a reduced gallery for the player or for the John Deere Classic anyway. And Claire Peterson, the tournament director, also friend of the show, we've had on many times. He has come out and said, yes, the cancellation this year is going to be tough. JDC will be back better than ever with the 50th edition in 2021. I don't know if it's the 50th edition or the 50th anniversary, whatever the case may be. But he has assured everyone that the John Deere Classic will be back. He hopes, and we hope, coming up in 2021. So, not good news today. We totally understand, obviously, and it's a situation where you really can't move the John Deere Classic. I know some people said, well, move it over to Iowa. Move it over onto our side of the Mississippi River. Well, there are many things that play a role as far as that is concerned. You just can't pick a course and say, yeah, we're going to have a PGA event here.
takes a lot of planning, especially for those events.
Yeah, it takes a ton of planning from the start of 1 year to the actual date and staying on a cycle like that. But you can't do that. What would be the implications then for a gallery in the state of Iowa and other questions? How do you get people to and from the golf course? Just so many questions, they just couldn't do it, and they decided, well, if we can't do that, let's just play an event at TPC Sawgrass where we know we control things. We control who can be there. We control the golf course. We control everything, and it's going to be a lot easier. And perhaps it sounds like they will have people there as the first gallery event of the resumption of the 2020 PGA Tour. So there you go. Tough news for golf fans out there today. 319-366-1600 if you would like to comment, if you were a ticket holder to the John Deere Classic. What do you think? Again, that number 319-366-1600. So that is our golf news for today. We'll get to Gary Barta in a moment. We'll talk more with Scott Docterman about that. NFL has come out with three rule changes for next year. Buttons is very up on this. You can be our rules expert, too, if you want to throw that moniker on to you as well.
You know, we're going to get good at the first, five that I have on me.
Okay, yeah.
And we're just going to keep on adding up.
Yeah, we're just going to keep adding them, and we're going to keep a list here.
Yep.
I'll stick it on the side of the console here, and we'll just introduce you that way from here on in. But the big thing is the pass interference review is history after one glorious, glorious year in the NFL where it fell squarely on its face and did not accomplish anything of what the NFL was hoping it was going to accomplish. Just ask the New Orleans Saints. and so that it has gone the way of the dodo bird. But a couple other, I know one of them was that kick returners and punt returners now will be considered defenseless players as far as a penalty is concerned. That is one of them. That's the one I took. And also, a couple teams utilized this at the end of games last year where they intentionally committed penalties to keep the clock running.
Patriots and the Titans.
Yes.
Yep.
That rule, as you may well have guessed, has been changed. Cannot do that any longer. That will not fly as far as the National Football League is concerned. So Those are the two big rule changes as far as the NFL. Not a whole lot going into 2020. And again, we hope that we see the product on the field as far as 2020 is concerned. Not exactly sure if we are going to have that yet, but we'll see. We'll see.
I think we'll have it in some form. It'll definitely be in some form.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm not sure about fans in the stands or how many fans are going to be in the stands, how many are going to be allowed there, how many are actually going to come to the game. And I think that question is yet to be answered.
Yeah. I mean, the NFL doesn't really take a lot of revenue from the fans. A lot of it is just TV and advertisements and
us. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And the NFL can survive without butts in the seats.
Yeah. They're going to go on in some form.
There is not a whole lot that can survive without that. The NFL is the big boy that can do it. And they would do it out there if need be. 319-366-1600. A couple of texts pertaining to yesterday's show. We talked about the XFL buttons. You remember that. And who's going to buy the XFL? Well, 5319 weighing in after the fact. If I was to buy the XFL, I would start my season the day of the draft because you can't miss something that never goes away. That way, people are hungry for the football no matter how good eight teams to start with and go from there as far as the XFL is concerned. So no stoppage. Go from one brand to the next brand.
12 months of football.
I cannot say that is a bad thing.
That's not a bad thing at all.
I cannot say that that would not fly around here anyway. 61-18. We were talking yesterday, putting things together as far as we were talking a little bit about high school baseball and softball. 61-18, wondering, is there any chance the Colonels will host some local high school baseball games? I guess that is up to the Colonels. My guess is probably no this year. Just because of all of the limitations that are going to be in place. High school diamonds are going to be tough enough and I think can be regulated as far as social distancing is concerned. You bring two teams into Veterans Memorial Stadium, Perfect Game Field, where the Colonels play, and you bring in a whole set of different circumstances there. You don't have the room to space out players if there are more than can fit in the dugout, for example. That's one thing. And you can't stick them on the field without a fence in front of them or anything like that. So my guess, 61-18, would be no on that. And yeah. And the Colonels wouldn't be making, it would just be a goodwill gesture anyway. Wouldn't be making any revenue as far as that is concerned. Not that they make a bunch anyway as far as high school, but you see what I mean. My thoughts.
Yep. I agree.
All right.
Yep.
317. Let's get to Gary Barta's comments here today. We're going to talk to Scott Docterman of The Athletic coming up here in a couple of minutes. But Gary Barta with a Zoom meeting today with members of the media, and he talked about what could take place at Kinnick Stadium in the fall. And if you'd like to comment, love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. Gary said, as of right now, 75% renewal rate, I believe he said, approximately, as far as the season tickets are concerned. Season tickets usually are around 48,000, so you got to think that's about 36,000-ish or so, along with student tickets included in there. And they're coming up with different scenarios as far as, okay, what are we going to do if we are fortunate enough to have an entire stadium be full for a Saturday afternoon kickoff, September 5th, Iowa and the Northern Iowa Panthers? What's Iowa going to do if we can have half capacity at Kinnick Stadium? How is it going to play out? And we'll talk with Scott Docterman about this, but basically if they need to, if they need to take the 36,000 or whatever they have right now, the point system that Iowa has developed as far as tickets and buying of tickets are concerned is going to go into effect. And higher up you are, as far as that is concerned. On that particular list, better shot you have of seeing Iowa football this fall. If you're not up high in the upper 36,000, then you may be on the outside looking in. It's pretty simple. Pretty cut and dry out there.
Yeah, I mean, right now, we don't really know what's going to happen.
No, we don't.
No. They're planning for every single scenario, and Barta said, along with all the other ADs, college ADs, they don't even know if there's going to be a football season or what that's going to look like yet, but they're planning for every single scenario.
That includes tailgating as well.
Yeah.
That includes tailgating as well. Gary Barta said he envisions tailgating taking place at the University of Iowa for football games this fall.
Right now, that's hard for me to grasp.
It brings in a lot of different things, doesn't it?
Brings in a lot of questions.
A lot of different things.
And is tailgating going to be regulated?
And how do you keep people out that don't have tickets?
Yeah.
Which constitutes quite a number. A lot more than you think as far as folks that end up in Iowa City and do not have a ticket to the game. They just want to be there. How is that going to be regulated? And, boy, I do not want to be the one that has to come up with those answers.
No. I do not envy any of them right now.
No. And I just, there's no right answer to it. There's no wrong answer to it. And there are going to be people that are going to abuse said policy. You know that.
Yeah.
There are going to be people that are going to abide by it. But that's just the society we live in. And you're going to have the groups of 50 or 60 or whatever the case may be with the music pumping and everything going and dreaming of Hawkeye victories and not dreaming of what happens in case somebody picks up COVID-19.
Yeah.
Of course, we don't know if it's – and again, we don't even know if it's going to be – we don't know. Ooh. We don't know.
We don't know past today.
No.
Everything changes in an instant right now.
Yeah, and goes from one moment to the next, basically.
Yep.
Including this. This just coming down – in the last couple of minutes or so. Not a huge surprise here, but the 2020 Shrine Bowl has been canceled. That was to take place July 18th in the Unidome in Cedar Falls for outgoing Iowa high school football seniors, outstanding seniors there. And that's too bad because that's not only a football game, but they also do some great work raising money for the Shrine hospitals around the country, and especially the ones in the Midwest. So
yeah,
that's sad indeed. But the Shrine Bowl will not go off in 2020. So
yeah,
there you go. We're going to talk to Scott Docterman coming up next, and we'll get his views as far as what Gary Barta had to say today. He also had a chance to talk to Brian Ferentz. Always interesting to talk with the offensive coordinator of the Iowa Hawkeyes, and we'll find out about that when we return on the Gym Class for a Thursday. Stay with us. More to come after this here on KGYM.
DePaco is the credit union where your membership pays. As a member-owned cooperative, you share in DePaco's success, not an elite group of stockholders. We do it via thank yous, a special member benefit that thanks you in cash for simply using your credit union services. It's money in your pocket for participating in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and planning for your financial future. DePaco members, whether young or oldish, can earn. Since 2016, DePaco members have shared millions of dollars in thank yous. So go on, save, borrow, invest, and insure with DePaco and earn thank yous for doing so. Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more. Get the details at DePaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and thank yous program eligibility. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
You work hard and you deserve to get the most for your money. Like health insurance coverage with the largest, most accessible networks. So you can choose where you want to go for care. Like having multiple plans so you can choose the coverage that works best for you. Mostly, you deserve to have the health insurance expertise Iowans have been trusting for over 80 years. Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. To find the small business or individual plan that's right for you, talk to your local agent about Wellmark today. Get started at wellmark.com.
Linder Tire's seen a lot in 88 years. Tornadoes, floods, and tough economic times. But through it all, they've been ready to help you. And today is no different. Linder Tire is open and ready to help with your car, truck, or van, whether you need emergency service or regular maintenance. You can drop in for service, but appointments are recommended and easy to make at lindertire.com. You can also find their updated hours and other info on their Facebook page. Linder Tire, in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Ready to help, just like they've been for 88 years.
Reimagine your outdoor living space with Alexander Lumber and Trex. Choose the enduring beauty and durability of Trex composite decking. It's engineered to eliminate time-consuming maintenance while providing superior scratch, fade, and stain resistance. In other words, you spend much less time taking care of your deck and a whole lot more time enjoying it. The experts at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander will help you create the deck of your dreams. Contact them today to start the design process. Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander, both in Iowa City.
The primary election is June 2nd, and your vote matters. County auditors are meeting today's challenging environment by offering you two in-person voting options. Curbside voting is available at your polling place if you need increased social distancing. Plan a bit of extra time if you vote in person, since we will be following state guidelines to mitigate exposure risks. Need more info about Election Day? Visit voteready.iowa.gov. This message brought to you by the Iowa Secretary of State, the Iowa Broadcasters Association, and your local station.
And we are back on the gym class on this Thursday here at KGYM, coming up on 3:26. Don't forget, Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. We have our final NFL Classic football game from Westwood One coming up tonight. And that will begin at 7 o'clock, 107.5, the Gym OT, and 106.3 FM will have the broadcast. Do you have it right offhand, what the game is? I'm putting you on the spot here.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
I am putting you on the spot here. Oh, do you have that?
I don't have it up right now.
I can find that for you. Hold on. Stand by. We've got this.
We got it.
It will be
the 2006 AFC Championship, New England versus Indianapolis.
Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. Need we say more? This is like the match two. This is the match 2.2. And that'll be the final game tonight. And those have been fun to listen to, and I'll catch that tonight as well at 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Going to bring in Scott Docterman. Does a great job of covering the Iowa Hawkeyes for The Athletic. And theathletic.com is their website. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Scott Docterman, joining us here on the Thursday edition of the program. And how you doing on this Thursday, Scott?
You know, not too bad. Good to talk with you. I kind of miss the human element of things going on these days. And, you know, hey, we're just past Memorial Weekend, and I kind of start to see the sun peeking out of the clouds when it comes to the fall.
Well, I hope. And we had a little bit of talk about that today. Gary Barta with a Zoom meeting with members of the media talking about the many, many scenarios of what could take place if we have indeed football at Kinnick Stadium this fall. And he covered all the bases, I guess, today in his Zoom meeting.
Yeah, and there are quite a few. I mean, I think everybody is, this scenario has got everybody asking questions. And unfortunately, there's just not a lot of specific answers. I think right now the plan is, and this seems to be what Gary Barta has confirmed, is they are moving as if status quo, that Iowa's going to kick off against Northern Iowa on September 5th, and they're going to have a full Kinnick Stadium. So they've got out of the 48,000 tickets that they sold last year, they're at about 75-76% is what he said as far as season ticket sales. So that's, you know, for the math majors out there, that's about 36,000 tickets. There are no plans currently to cut the stadium down in size, but they also respect the fact that it could happen. So they'll go, by who sold season tickets or who bought them, who has the priority points, and then of course students. So I think there's a lot of different scenarios in play. You know, we're actually still farther away from the season than we were from the Big Ten tournament when everything got shut down. So, we're still a long ways away from football season, but it just there seems to be a little bit of a momentum that we might get back to some sort of degree of normalcy, whatever that will be.
Well, I think they're taking the correct path because you have to plan for a full house, and then you can just, if need to, you can deviate from that formula easier than I think going from, okay, we're going to plan on half capacity, and then all of a sudden, you know, whatever scenario there is, now all of a sudden you got 70,000+ at Kinnick Stadium.
You know, it you can think of it in different ways, and both schools in the state have decided to do it differently. I mean, Iowa State is going to plan for half capacity for the first game, and I suppose if you get to August and you feel like you can have a full house, or that seems to be a possibility, then I'm sure that they could ramp up those tickets. And you know, I'd imagine that there would be pretty close to a sellout for the first game at Jack Trice Stadium. Iowa's deciding to do it differently, and then they can cut back from there. And Iowa's ticket base is a little bit more tiered, where you have a sizable amount of season ticket holders, and then you have people who engage in three packs, a lot of them in single game sales. So, I mean, there's all kinds of different scenarios in play. And I think that, we'll find out who did a better job. My guess is they both probably end up doing a pretty good job on it. But, by and large, yeah, you can do it different ways, and they've chosen to do it differently.
Then you got the tailgating question, which was addressed some by Gary today, and he is expecting tailgating to take place. And like Buttons and I were talking about, I do not want to be the one that comes up with the guidelines as far as tailgating is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, they touched that once 10 years ago, and it was like, chopping the head off the golden goose. And, you haven't been able to tape that head back on to the golden goose. not for a great analogy there, I suppose. But still, how do you do this? How do you get people into one gate, 15 minutes before kickoff the way they normally do? That's going to be a challenge in itself. I don't know that you can police everything. I don't know that, you can. I think you have to allow people to do their own thing. I mean, tailgating, is it going to be, 300 people at one side? Is it going to look like what we saw at the Lake of the Ozarks over the weekend? I don't know. I think that's probably something that they get to maybe in August, and they start to say, okay, now what are we going to do about this? It might be limiting certain people in certain places, but I just don't know that you could do much about it once it's in play. If you're going to have 70,000 people at Kinnick, you're not going to have tailgating lots in North Liberty and Hills. It's just, you're going to have 70,000 people within about 4 to 5 miles of Kinnick Stadium. You're just going to have to live with it.
Yeah. Well, I think people are relegated to the fact that 2020 is just going to be a different season. If they're not relegated to that fact, then I don't know they need to have something hit over their head, because it's not going to be the same, certainly this year.
No, it's been a jacked up year already for everybody in every single facet of life. I mean, we talk sports, but every other facet of this world, from graduations and weddings to employment to politics, everything is in a crazy situation right now. Otherwise, you've either been in a coma or you're a hermit out in the woods, and maybe that's not the worst place to be in 2020.
No, I don't think it is. Scott Docterman of The Athletic joining us here on Thursday edition of The Gym Class. Gary talked a little bit as well about finances, obviously, with June 1st coming, and we'll get to another milestone on June 1st coming here in a couple of minutes. But also talked about fiscally what things are going to look like as far as the athletic department is concerned.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions there. It's going to be tough because, they rely really on three main areas of revenue each year. And number one, the biggest chunk has to deal with the conference media rights package. And between the conference, bowl money, and other items, it's about $60 million a year that they get out of that. The second one is their donations, and they kind of fluctuate depending on projects, but that's still a $30+ million revenue jack. And then you got the third one is your ticket sales, and that's what it was last time was about $27 million, and about $23 million is dedicated to football. The majority of the rest is is men's basketball, and then about a million of it is combined with wrestling and women's basketball, although that may be a little higher this year. I think it's, so you've got three main areas of, and two of them are going to be severely impacted. One, ticket sales, which we know. I mean, if you're going to have half a crowd at Kinnick Stadium, they're going to know it. And if you're usually getting $22-23 million a year in football ticket revenue, and that goes in half, that doesn't take a math genius to figure out that's $10-11 million hit. But I think the one that people are kind of glossing over are the donations. I mean, if people have had to lay other people off, if they've had to curtail their business, their giving levels are going to come down quite a bit. And so I think they're prepared for that, but I don't know what they could see out of it. And so I think that's the area of really the deepest concern. So how do they do that? Well, they are going to have all kinds of cuts in just about every area. I've heard, the number that I've had a few people tell me is 15% pretty much across the board in operating budgets and pay for employees. And so that means for somebody like Iowa football, they're not going to, cut a few, the training, they're not going to cut the recruiting. What they might do is say, instead of flying to, both ways to Minnesota and Nebraska, maybe you take a bus there and fly back. Or Illinois, you're bussing back and forth for a team. Some of the smaller sports teams or the Olympic sport teams, that probably means that you're going to have to really watch your travel, your discretionary travel. I mean, women's gymnastics went to New Hampshire. The baseball team went to Hawaii in fiscal 19. You had, the women's golf teams going all over North America in the early spring. I mean, those are tournaments and those are things that whether it's Gary Barner, whether it's their sport administrator, the coach, they're going to have to look at them and really start being judicious with how and where they go to cut costs. Because, the two things I really don't see them chopping at all for any of the sports. One, they will not touch scholarships.
No.
They're not going to say, well, let's have 8 instead of 10 in baseball or some other sport. And then they're not going to, cut down on recruiting. And I would dare say that they're not going to touch things like food unless they see that there's a waste there going. So I think discretionary travel and I think method of travel are two significant areas that they're going to have to cut down on.
Right. And I think it was also mentioned a little bit. You mentioned scholarships, and I'm not sure if this was an Iowa thing or a Big Ten thing, that if a student athlete does not feel comfortable with being out on the field, being at practice, whatever the case may be, their scholarship is still going to be honored. So they do have that, I guess, as far as something that I don't want to say fall back on or anything like that, but it's up to their thinking.
Yeah, and that's going to be a tough part. I mean, how do you make sure that these athletes, do what you want them to do? I don't think that there's going to be a major problem, but I do think, I think everybody's going to err on the side of education, which is probably a fair thing to do, because in this, it's a pandemic. We can all, we can criticize, we can argue the merits of shutting down the country or not and all that stuff. But realistically, it's a pandemic. And so in a pandemic, you've got to be cognizant of what these people are here for school. And so if they don't feel comfortable practicing or playing or whatever, honoring their scholarship for a year is probably the right thing to do. I mean, and they've done some good things. The Big Ten has and Iowa and other schools have in recent years where they basically made scholarships lifetime. And so even if you leave school early or if you get drafted and you haven't quite completed your education, you can still come back for free and they'll pay for your school. And so I think that's been helpful for guys who do leave early and maybe only play a couple of years in the NFL or something. But how much are you going to allow if you're a coach? Because it is an important thing. So I think there's going to be a lot of leeway but a lot of questions going forward.
Well, the football players are coming back in early June as things will get started. And there's been a lot of speculation thrown about on how that is going to look. A lot of different opinions out there. And it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. I think that the football team, for an example, is going to be very vigilant as far as their social distancing and cleanliness is concerned. But there are people out there that think that it's going to be overlooked anyway. And I guess your opinion on that.
I think this is a time for whether it's Iowa or any other school where leadership emerges. And I think you're going to see a bigger difference this fall between programs than you've ever seen before. Because teams that in the spring worked out together, competed together in workouts that showed great leadership, that exuded all those intangibles that you need, I think you will see a well-prepared teams. Maybe they won't play at an outstanding level certainly right away, but I think you're going to see teams that compete at a high level out of the gate. And I think teams were, you know, maybe there were a lot of transfers. Maybe there wasn't a lot of great leadership. Maybe they didn't work out the way they needed to. You know, and nobody's going to work out the same way without having great strength coaches guiding them each and every day. But you can tell which ones actually put some effort into it and which ones didn't. And I think you're going to see in September, if this all comes to fruition, you're going to see which teams came out of the gate playing hard, looking good, and other ones that didn't do it. A blanking thing in May or June. And so with Iowa, I mean, from what I know and from the people I've discussed it with, I mean, they have really taken this, you know, well. I mean, they've worked really hard. They've gone to different, you know, different fields and worked out almost daily. You know, they've, you know, Chris Doyle would install squat racks to people around town. You know, I think some of the veteran players, they all kind of live with each other and they have a squat rack in their garage and different workouts. And they, you know, so I think there's a real strong commitment and there's a more of a veteran presence on this team. And the players who are on it are, you know, guys you can kind of understand where they're coming from. So I think they're going to be in good shape. You know, there are a lot of teams where I don't think that's going to be the case. So I'm interested. And as far as workouts go within the next few weeks, they're voluntary, but you can have strength coaches there with them.
Yeah.
So they'll probably be smaller groups. They'll probably be more distant. But I would dare say that I think the effort and will be there each and every workout.
Yeah. Scott Docterman of The Athletic joining us here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class at 3:41. On your latest podcast with Mark Morehouse, the On Iowa podcast, which is terrific, by the way. Very highly recommend that. Always entertaining when you get to talk to Brian Ferentz. And you guys had a chance to do that. And he went over just about everything, didn't he?
He sure did.
And as only Brian can.
Yeah, right. I mean, you don't cut him off, and you let him go, and he talks longer and in more detail than just about anybody I know, let alone sport or whatever. So, yeah, he did an excellent job. He went over the different topics. You know, and he went off script. He did some, you know, when it came to letters of intent or, you know, whether or not athletes should be able to have sell their name, image, and likeness and that type of thing. He went into great detail about that, as well as just about any topic you'd want him to talk about. And I thought the funniest part was a little bit of banter between him and Mark over the phrase, "That's football," from the 2014 season. And so this was a great freewheeling conversation. I fully recommend people go to the On Iowa podcast on, you know, whether it's on the iTunes app or the Gazette website or wherever and listen, because this is something we don't get very often. If we get Brian, usually it's at a podium or in a scrum. So to let Brian kind of sit and go and talk about different topics, I think it was very entertaining.
Cut blocks too, by the way.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I was going to ask... Brian right now, obviously being a coordinator, and he loves social media and loves to talk, like you mentioned, on a podcast, whatever the case may be. If Brian moves up the ladder, I'm not saying at Iowa, I'm not going to start that rumor or anything like that. I'm just saying if Brian moves up the ladder to be a head coach, do you still see him kind of still being in this mode where he's very accessible like this, or is he going to go kind of Kirkish on us a little bit and, you know, take away a little bit of the social media and a little bit of being out there?
Oh, I think anytime somebody assumes to that top leadership position, that they become instantly a little bit more guarded, and they should be, you know, because your word means more at the top than it does as a subordinate, whatever area that is. So, yeah, I mean, whether it's at Iowa or Miami of Ohio or wherever, you know, yeah, I'm sure he'll become a little bit more guarded and a little bit more, you know, and he tries to be that way in most settings, you know, at the podium or whatever. But he does have a lot of strong opinions, and he, you know, where Kirk kind of holds back sometimes and he's a little bit more politically correct. And, you know, Brian doesn't quite harbor that way. He's just a little bit different. And I think that's fun and it's refreshing to hear his opinions and whether you agree with them or not. And, you know, and I think it's good for him to kind of get those out there. But, you know, we've had more conversations with him and Kirk and as well as both the staff in the last few years. And I think it's been really helpful in kind of seeing where they are as a staff and what they're thinking of different things. And yeah, I mean, cut blocks, it was intriguing to me because you know, when it comes to cut blocks, that's a significant part of Iowa's running offense.
Yes.
And when they can't conduct those, and they're called penalties when they're really not, they've got to figure out something to do. And if they can't, they're going to have to revamp their system. And so I think that was really a fascinating discussion that we had there on that topic alone.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think as we go into the month of June and just from all the rhetoric out there, I think I'm much more optimistic. I think that we are going to have at least some semblance of college football this fall. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know what it's going to look like in the stands. I don't know what it's going to look like on the field as far as how many, where they're going to be, whatever. But I just think we're going to have some semblance of football this fall.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I do think that's the case. I actually think it's, you know, what I'm most nervous about for college football is what's going to happen with the postseason, because I'm not sure people are going to want to travel to the Outback Bowl this year or to the Holiday Bowl or the Belk Bowl or whatever, and it's compared to the past, because it's just it's riskier. And, you know, one of the things, I think it's going to start on time the way things have shaped up, but I think you're going to see a bigger hole in December, January. And I don't know what that means yet for basketball. I think everybody's concentrated on football, but I think basketball could be directly impacted based on what we've seen with a lot of schools deciding to either go virtual in the month of December or completely end their classes at Thanksgiving, because you know that second wave of not only Corona, but the flu season and everything else is going to start right there, right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. A lot of people looking forward to basketball already, but no news on Luka Garza as of yet, though. So stand by on that. But I know you guys will cover that at The Athletic. And folks, if you haven't gotten your subscription to that, we encourage you to do so. And Scott, always appreciate it. Thanks for the information, and take care, and we'll talk soon.
All right, great. Thanks so much, Scott. Appreciate it.
All right. Scott Dochterman of The Athletic joining us here on the Gym Class program at 3:47 on this Thursday. We'll take a break. Come back with more after this here on KGYM.
Right now, sports is revisiting the classics.
Got him open at the 7-yard line. Touchdown.
For the left, he lays it in.
To the wall.
Seems like your music should, too. And you can. It's called Smart Rock, an infinite library of the best music ever created. Catch it on Smart FM, 95.1 in Cedar Rapids, 98.5 in Iowa City, or on your smart speaker. The best sports moments in history on KGYM. The best music in the history of the planet on Smart FM.
The Iowa Army National Guard salutes the high school graduating class of 2020. We recognize all of your hard work and the resilience you've demonstrated during this historic time for our country. Those are the traits of a great citizen soldier. You can continue to stand out and be a leader in your community as a soldier in the Iowa Army National Guard. Learn more about the benefits of part-time service in the Army National Guard at NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's time for some straight talk. Even though most live sports are on hold now, big wireless companies haven't stopped playing games. They're always trying to lock you into overpriced contracts. With Straight Talk Wireless, there are no contracts. It runs on America's best network, same as the big carriers, but you save up to 50%. $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. You might miss sports, but don't play games, you'll lose. Straight Talk Wireless. No contracts, no compromise.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Every home has things it needs, things that need to be maintained, fixed, or replaced. The Home Depot is here to help you get it done. You can easily find what you need on our app, order it online with the push of a button, and have it brought to your door with free delivery on over a million items. We have the essentials you need, the online know-how you may need to do it yourself, and low prices that make it all possible. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
We're here to tell you about Boost Mobile's new upgraded network.
That's right. Stronger signal, faster speeds, and more coverage.
So now you can get everything you want faster, like Pitbull's music.
No, the new upgraded network means you can download music faster than ever before. It doesn't mean that it will make Pitbull songs faster.
Oh, so this isn't the song.
No, this is the song.
Well, this is embarrassing.
Step up with Boost Mobile's new upgraded network. Stronger signal, faster speeds, more coverage than before. Switch and get four unlimited lines for $25 per line per month and four free LG K51 phones. Access to upgraded network requires compatible device. New customers only. Four-line offer requires at least one port and activation from eligible carrier. Free phone limited to one per line while supplies last. Customers using more than 35 gigabytes of data during billing cycle may be deprioritized during times of congestion. Offers and coverage not available everywhere. Additional terms and restrictions apply. See BoostMobile.com or retailer for full details.
We are back in the gym class at 3:50 on this Thursday. We've got a topic for Friday that we'll throw out for you coming up here in just a couple of moments. It got the thumbs up of approval from Buttons, I think. You like the topic?
I like the topic.
All right.
It's a good topic.
A good topic for a Friday to close out the month of May. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. So we'll get you that here in just a moment. 319-366-1600 is the text line. Available to you out there. Again, 319-366-1600. 2401 on the text line. I have never been a proponent for paying college players a stipend, but hearing what a huge effect college football has on the athletic finances seems pretty apparent. The players should get something out of the deal. No players, no football. Yeah, and a lot of people share that sentiment out there, and I think more and more as we go down the line here share that sentiment. And yeah, Brian Ferentz did talk about that in that podcast with Scott and Mark. So we'll go back and take that in if you would like. 319-366-1600. We mentioned the big story around the state of Iowa today. Not only Gary Barta with his Zoom meeting talking about Kinnick Stadium and what that could look like in the fall. In case you missed it, at the start of the program, the John Deere Classic has been canceled for 2020. It will not be played this year at the TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois. They will be back in 2021 with the 50-year anniversary, I believe 50-year anniversary of the JDC, which has been known by many, many names over the year, including the Ed McMahon Quad Cities Classic. Do you know who Ed McMahon is, Buttons?
You know I'm not a giant golf fan.
He's not a golfer.
Well, there you go.
So you don't know who Ed McMahon is?
I have no clue.
Okay. Johnny Carson?
Yep.
Okay.
Johnny Carson.
Ed McMahon was Johnny Carson's sidekick.
I watched Johnny Carson at some points on, I think he's on like Tuesdays.
Well, he's on a lot of different
he
days
really is.
On some stations.
Yeah.
Give Ed McMahon a Google.
Okay.
Find it out.
Let me write it down right now.
Yes. Ed McMahon Google. Thank you very much so. But anyway, there will not be a John Deere Classic this year. Instead, the PGA Tour will conduct a tournament, it sounds like, at their home base at the TPC Sawgrass, where the Players Championship is usually conducted. That was not conducted this year as well. So we'll see how that plays out. This coming across, Jeff Pavson from ESPN, Major League Baseball Insider. Boy, if baseball needs any more bad news down the line, baseball, hundreds of minor league players were cut today and lost their jobs. Sources tell ESPN hundreds more will be released over the next week. In the end, upward of 1,000 players could see their careers come to an end. The minor leagues have been simply devastated. And that's pretty blunt, and it's pretty much truthful.
Yeah. I mean, it's not unheard of to hear of small cuts every year for the minor leagues, but not in this mass.
No.
That we're seeing.
And speculation, it has not come out as of yet, but the speculation is that there will not be a 2020 minor league season this year. And I think as each day passes, the optimism for that just goes down to percentage points even more. So
yeah, and with these cuts, it's going down even further.
True, true. So we'll see. Maybe something will come about. I don't know. Players Association of Major League Baseball continue to bicker about how they can get together and put some semblance of a 2020 season together. And the first salvo was from the owners and talking about prorated contracts, only paying some this year, paying the rest of the contract at a later date. And that, as you would imagine, went over like a lead balloon with the folks in the Major League Baseball Players Association.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we'll see about when the MLB will return. I mean, at this point,
I hope so. I'm as much optimism as I have for college football and pro football, I have zero or maybe the opposite amount for the return of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
I just think they're going to mess this game up even more.
I'm still holding out a little bit of hope because I like watching baseball.
Oh, I love it. I grew up playing baseball, played baseball, and just it's sad.
Yeah.
It's a sad, sad situation.
Yeah.
What they're facing right now. So, yeah, we'll see how that all plays out. All right, we're going to take our final break, come back, and we're going to let you know about our topic for tomorrow on the Friday edition of the Gym Class. Our Friday topic, so stay with us. More to come after this, KGYM.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream, Barbasol changed the face of shaving forever. A few billion shaves later, Frank's dream lives on. Behind every face is a dream. Barbasol proudly salutes every fearless, self-assured, wide-eyed dreamer all across America. Celebrating 100 years, Barbasol.
We're here to tell you about Boost Mobile's new upgraded network.
That's right. Stronger signal, faster speeds, and more coverage.
So now you can get everything you want faster, like Pitbull's music.
No, the new upgraded network means you can download music faster than ever before. It doesn't mean that it will make Pitbull songs faster.
Oh, so this isn't the song.
No, this is the song.
Well, this is embarrassing.
Step up with Boost Mobile's new upgraded network. Stronger signal, faster speeds, more coverage than before. Switch and get 4 unlimited lines for $25 per line per month and 4 free LG K51 phones. Access to upgraded network requires compatible device. New customers only. 4-line offer requires at least one port and activation from eligible carrier. Free phone limited to 1 per line while supplies last. Customers using more than 35 gigabytes of data during billing cycle may be deprioritized during times of congestion. Offers and coverage not available everywhere. Additional terms and restrictions apply. See BoostMobile.com or retailer for full details.
At AutoZone, we've always been here to help you get what you need to go where you need. That hasn't changed. Needing some battery help? We've got you. Whether it's a free battery test or a free charge, we can help you get started again. And if it's time for a replacement, we've got a full selection of batteries starting at $79.99. That's why we're America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Based on data from the NPD Group Incorporated, Car Care Track, 12 months ending December 2019.
Your employees and customers have new expectations when it comes to cleanliness. Cintas has the products and services you need to feel prepared. A trained Cintas technician can apply disinfectant and sanitizer spray to common surfaces. And we'll keep you well stocked with gloves, face masks, hand sanitizer, and disinfectant wipes, professional cleaning supplies, and PPE. Just a few ways Cintas can help you keep your business safe. Visit Cintas.com and get ready for the workday.
Back with you on the Gym Class to wrap things up here on this Thursday. Friday topic coming up tomorrow. We'll go over the news of the day and your text as well. But we're going to have our Friday topic tomorrow, and we're going to dive into the world of Iowa football coming up tomorrow, as Buttons is already doing some preliminary research, not looking up Ed McMahon on Google, but looking things up.
I will just watch Johnny Carson tonight.
Please watch Johnny Carson with that. Now, Doc Severinsen also was not only the band leader, but he was also a sidekick sometimes filling in for Ed. But
yep.
Look for Ed. We are going to get your thoughts about your favorite, most underrated players of Iowa football history. You thought somebody maybe deserved a little bit more recognition, maybe got some more recognition later on. We're going to take your texts and phone calls about that coming up tomorrow. So the most underrated players in Iowa football history, that'll be coming up tomorrow. Hope you enjoyed it. Todd and Alex coming up next, KGYM.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4.